Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 13th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. A renewable energy giant says it wants the Isle of Man to be proud of a new offshore wind farm. Meanwhile, Port Erin Commissioners has rebutted claims of a permanent dog ban on the beach, and FC Isle of Man continue their winless streak after they were dominated by Earlham. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a message if you want to say hello in the usual way. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email me at studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Lewis Foster. Faster my Lewis.
Faster my. A Ramsey commissioner says claiming a reduction of beds at Ramsey and District Cottage Hospital is good news is PR spin. Duan McGuinness says he's disappointed by the move from Manx Care, which is said to be down to more services being moved into the community.
When you take elderly people out of hospital care, they don't stop needing care. That burden is then put on families, charities, other aspects of the healthcare and community services, and that will have an, I think, unforeseen knock-on impact far wider in the social structure of the Isle of Man than simply 10 beds up at Ramsey Cottage Hospital.
Emergency services responded to a single vehicle road traffic collision in Peel earlier today. Police, fire and ambulance crews were called out shortly after 12:30. The driver received medical treatment at the scene. No other vehicles were involved. Opticians on the Isle of Man can now offer a wider range of NHS-funded services under changes by Manx Care. Alongside routine sight tests, they can carry out glaucoma reviews, cataract surgery follow-ups, and assessments for conditions such as eye pain, sudden vision changes, and infections. The move replaces the pilot minor eye condition service at Specsavers, extending the care to all opticians. And Davy Todd has been confirmed as a late entry into the Formula One race at this year's Classic TT. The three-time TT winner will line up on the Prosperity Racing Ducati 916. Turning to the latest international news, the UK Prime Minister says because of Donald Trump, there's a viable chance of a ceasefire in Ukraine. Several meetings have happened today ahead of the US President holding talks on Friday with Vladimir Putin. Mr. Trump joined European leaders on a virtual call where Volodymyr Zelensky told him the Kremlin is bluffing and sanctions work. Sir Keir Starmer then brought together nations prepared to police any future peace agreement.
We have to combine active diplomacy on the one hand with military support to Ukraine and pressure on Russia. There are some key principles. Firstly, and obviously, there can be no negotiations about Ukraine without Ukraine.
Claire's Accessories is bringing in administrators, putting more than 2,000 jobs at risk. The chain will continue to operate its UK stores while the chain's future is assessed. Three teenagers have been charged with murdering a man on the Isle of Sheppey in Kent. They're aged 16, 15 and 14. And a successful catch wasn't the only thing lacking when the UK Foreign Secretary took JD Vance out on a fishing trip last week. He didn't have the right licenses either and has referred himself to authorities. Those are the headlines. We'll be back with the news at 6 o'clock.
Good morning. Thank you very much for that. Lewis, weather now brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry with periods of warm sunshine in the north today, but low cloud and mist will affect southern and central areas for much of the day. Light or moderate south or southwest winds and top temperatures of 22 or 23 degrees Celsius over northern parts, slightly cooler elsewhere. Tomorrow will be largely dry with variable amounts of clouds, but also a continuing risk of mist and low clouds at times. The light southwest wind will veer to the west around midday. Best temperatures of around 22 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Hungry for something better at work? The Quirky Teapot Balasala creates bespoke corporate buffets and delivers straight to you. Serving the south of the Isle of Man with flavour and style. Call Abby and the team on 22 42 42 or visit The Quirky Teapot on Facebook.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys. Your fast, reliable locksmiths 24-7. Homes, cars and bikes. Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
Direct cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Welcome to the programme. Almost 6 minutes past five. Renewable energy company Ørsted says it hopes Manx residents will be proud of a wind farm, which it hopes to develop off the island's east coast. The Morvanin site will sit between 6 and 12 miles off the shore within the Isle of Man's territorial waters. Meanwhile, the company is exploring two options around bringing the power generated to Ireland, either through a direct cable from the wind farm or connecting it to the UK grid with the option for the islands to then buy the power. Jamie Baldwin is the project director.
We will be kind of recouping the huge construction costs. I mean, we estimate this construction cost will be in the region of £4.5 billion. So as a company, we kind of recoup that a number of years later. So we'll be looking, obviously, to make sure that it pays for itself at the very least and that we make a reasonable margin there. I think it's fair to say offshore wind, it is a much narrower margin, which is good for consumers. I think it's less about what we would prefer. It's really about two things, really, what the Isle of Man government in combination with Manx Utilities. So what we've done is we've put in our planning application, a cable route coming back to the island. So we are future-proofing that opportunity to provide direct power, to provide enough power for the whole of the island. There are some regulatory challenges to how that's done, which involve both the UK government but also the Isle of Man government. And really that's the reason why we can't be, at this point, we can't commit 100% to say this will happen. But if that is what the government and Manx Utilities want to do and the island wants to do, then we will do that and we will pay for that cable back to the island. What's the alternative? I mean, we need energy, we need electricity, currently dependent on an ageing gas power station on the island and an interconnector to get energy from the UK and pay for that. So this is an opportunity to take control, really, to own and to benefit from generating electricity within the Isle of Man waters. So yes, you will be able to see them. You know, wind farms, modern day wind farms are big structures, but we want people to be proud of them, to recognise that there's benefits, real tangible benefits to this as well. So I think it's also important to say that there are proposals outside of Isle of Man waters that come right up to those territorial waters already being planned, for which the island will see no direct benefit. So this is the opportunity for the island really to get the full suite of benefits that come with that.
Jamie Baldwin from Ørsted speaking there. What are your thoughts? Will you be proud of a wind farm? Let me know. 166-177 on the texts. 8 minutes past five, a Ramsey commissioner says he's disappointed by Manx Care's decision to reduce the number of beds available at Ramsey and District Cottage Hospital. The healthcare provider says it's moving more of its inpatient rehabilitation into the community, which has resulted in a reduced occupancy and therefore a reconfiguration of the Martin ward. That's led to a number of beds being reduced by 30% from 31 to 20. Joan McGuinness told Amy Griffiths he has concerns about the long-term implications of such a move.
I think any cut to a valid and valuable local service like that has got to be seen as a step backwards and a concern, and not just on a sort of short term, but I do worry about the long-term impact that's going to have, not just on Ramsey in the North and the Cottage Hospital, but the island's healthcare as a whole.
And Manx Care says that actually people recover better if they're recovering at home and not in a hospital environment. And so they say that the reason for this reduction is because more people are being able to be treated at home. And so they say it's a positive thing. So what would you say to that?
I mean, it's a fantastic spin on that. I know the reality is that when you take elderly people out of hospital care. They don't stop needing care. That burden is then put on families, charities, other aspects of the healthcare and community services, and that will have an, I think, unforeseen knock-on impact far wider in the social structure of the Isle of Man than simply 10 beds up at Ramsay Cottage Hospital.
You yourself have seen firsthand the work that goes on at the Martin Ward, and are you happy to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I don't want this just to be about a personal experience, but having had my dad visit there a couple of times over the past 6 to 12 months and seen how hard the staff work, but also how much is relied upon by third sector organisations like Crossroads, like Hospice, I think that this is just another opportunity for Manx Care to cut costs and not be honest about that and put that burden on families of loved ones and charities.
Ultimately, Manx Care say the reason that they're cutting this number of beds is because they're just not being used. So at a time when cost savings do have to be made, why should they be there if that can save them some money?
In my experience of going up and visiting my father every day, I did not see empty beds up there. If they are empty, it is because they are being made empty. And again, I question the unforeseen impact and cost on getting elderly people out of that healthcare environment before they're ready in order to meet targets.
That's Joan McGuinness speaking with Amy Griffiths there. And Manx Care has been approached for comment. We've spoken to them earlier this afternoon and we'll be bringing you their response tomorrow morning on Manx Radio Breakfast.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
An admin worker who stole more than £16,000 from a family-run construction firm on the Isle of Man has been handed a suspended jail sentence. Angela Townend stole the money on repeated occasions from Stephen Christian and Sons in Kirkmichael between December 2022 and March 2024, leaving the business devastated. Siobhan Fletcher has this report from BBC Isle of Man.
Douglas Courthouse heard the 50-year-old who pleaded guilty to 8 counts of theft was the only person outside of the family to have access to the company's business account. Deemster Graham Cook handed her a 20-month sentence but agreed to suspend it for 2 years. The court heard she'd made several unauthorised transactions to her own account and 2 to a family member's account. She then concealed the imbalanced business accounts through the digital records and, as she was trusted, the account was not monitored. Townend's employers eventually noticed the missing money and confronted her via email, to which she replied with false explanations. She was arrested on the 18th of March last year and, when interviewed, admitted to officers she did it to make ends meet. In a victim impact statement read to the court, company director Susan Christian said the theft had a devastating impact and had resulted in the operation downsizing and restructuring. She said Townend had been afforded everything she needed, given a good salary and time off whenever she needed it, but that it was thrown back into our faces. Townend's defence solicitor said the money had been used to support her son through university and she suffered from mental health issues, with the offending coinciding with periods where she was struggling. The court heard she'd previously been cautioned for stealing £7,769 from her former employer, a payroll firm, in 2020. Her defence said she's now in full-time employment, with her current employers aware of the offences and she no longer handles finances. Deemster Graham Cook said he had agreed to suspend the sentence due to her chance of rehabilitation in the community. He also said she did not pose a threat to the public, aside from handling finances, which she'd stepped back from.
Port Erin commissioners met last night to discuss a number of issues affecting the village. The main item on the agenda, though, was addressing a petition which claimed the local authority would be permanently banning dogs from the beach. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper was at the meeting.
Port Erin commissioners says a petition which claimed it was banning dogs from the beach was false. At its meeting last night, the board discussed a Facebook post which claimed one of the new commissioners would be proposing the change. Both Jimmy Cubbon and Col Drinkwater, who were elected in July, denied they were planning to put forward the change at the meeting. Mr Cubbon said the post had questioned his integrity as a member of the board and made them look foolish. Clerk Jason Roberts confirmed that he was not aware of any proposals from the returning board members or new commissioners with regards to changing the bylaws. The current bylaws were approved in March 2024 and will be in place for the next 10 years. Chair of the commissioners, Hannah McKenzie, said the petition was nonsense. She added that the consultation of the current set of bylaws was well received, and between 300 and 500 people responded to it. Mrs. McKenzie also told the meeting that the restrictions are in place to try and protect staff from dog poo when doing gardening work. The board agreed to accept questions from those in attendance. One member of the public asked how many dog poo-related health and safety incidents had been reported. However, Mr. Cubbin said the local authority shouldn't wait for a member of staff to lose an eye to do something about the issue. Another resident asked how many people have been fined since the bylaws were introduced, and the clerk confirmed none have been issued. However, he said it's about someone being in the right place at the right time, and if a dog owner is caught, they're challenged with either a fine or picking up the waste. The board agreed not to change any of the dog bylaws at the current time.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper with that report. Now, opticians on the Isle of Man can now offer a wider range of NHS-funded services thanks to changes brought in by Manx Care. Lewis Foster is with us now with more details. First to my Lewis.
First to my Christian, yeah, that's right. So alongside routine sight tests, opticians will now be able to carry out supplementary examinations as well. These include glaucoma reviews, follow-ups after cataract surgery and checks for eye conditions such as ocular hypertension, infections, sudden changes in vision or persistent pain.
Some quite long words there. So it's hoped that that will mean fewer trips to the GP or even hospital for some, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. So the changes build on a pilot scheme run at Specsavers, but now extend the service to all opticians. Manx Care says it should allow people to get the right care more quickly, closer to home and without a charge. For serious issues such as suspected retinal detachment or severe pain, patients are still, of course, advised to go straight to the emergency department at Nobles Hospital.
Lewis Foster there with those details, and you can find out more about that over at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Got a bit excited with the microphone there. Let's take a look on the roads. The traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so temporary lights are currently replacing the main lights, and all filter lanes are out of operation. In Douglas, temporary lights on Woodburn Road for bus stop improvement works, and near Foxdale, there's temporary lights on the shoulder road at South Burrell Plantation, 24 hours a day for tree works. Take a look over at the steam packet. Everything's looking all good over there. I'm not seeing any changes out of the usual. Over at the airport, one thing to be aware of on the arrivals board, the 725 Loganair from Edinburgh is not due in for 35 minutes, a 35 minute delay, now expected to land at 8 o'clock. Naturally, on the departures board, that means the 755 Loganair to Edinburgh also delayed, not due to be on the runway until 8:30 as it stands.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
When it comes to your music, do you ever think you've had enough of having to and would really like to hear a bit of, or perhaps even it's supposed to hurt. Some, or not forgetting? Well, if you do, you'll be delighted to hear all the Manx Radio Specialist Music Programmes are now podcast. Find your music on Manx Radio Podcasts via the Manx Radio website or your favourite podcast provider. Specialist Music Podcasts on Manx Radio, the best of music you won't hear elsewhere.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Thank you, Howard. 18 minutes past five, the Department of Infrastructure says it's made a series of changes to how it handles complaints and manages flood risk following criticism from the Timald Ombudsman. Darren Timpson joins us now. He's been looking through what's changed and why. First to my Darren, what's the latest here?
First to my. So the department says it's updated its complaint procedures, introduced a new customer service policy and overhauled flood management guidance. Minister Michelle Hayward told Aubrey Castletown and Malou MHK Jason Morehouse the complaints process was reviewed and republished in June and will now be checked again annually.
So what is the different in what's different in practice, I suppose?
In the flood management division, there's now a published operational policy for works affecting watercourses, new draft planning policies on flood risk, and technical guidance for site-specific flood risk assessments. The department says these measures will make decision-making clearer and more consistent.
And this actually follows a fairly critical report from the Ombudsman, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. The 2023 report looked at a farm culvert planning application and found the department had submitted late comments, missed site visits, and failed to follow its own complaints process. Internal reviews were also judged to be not independent and didn't address the main issues raised. The Ombudsman recommended better communication, quicker service, and improved record keeping, changes the department says it's now implementing.
Darren Timpson, thank you. Now, a local charity says it wouldn't take much to make the Isle of Man more play-friendly. This is Isle of Play, which runs Leicester's Yard in Douglas. It's calling for improved access to parks and streets for young people. Chris Gregory from the charity has been speaking with Christy Dehaven.
It's a hard balance to make because the health and safety side of things. So walking through one of the parks in Germany, there were so many young people there. We're not just talking about children, we're talking about teenagers in groups, playing football, playing volleyball was really big over there. And that was wonderful to see because they are given the permission to be in those spaces and to play. And they put the facilities in. Their play equipment had lots of moving parts like the sand pits and gravel areas. They use gravel as a safety surface in Germany as well. Something that you would never see over here. We always spend a lot of money on wet pour. So their parks are much more free for people to go into and accessed by people, and there's toilets available in them as well, which is always handy. So yeah, I don't think it takes a great deal of cost to improve parks, but I think a bit more considered approach to it will bring more young people to them, and they are the places where young people perhaps should be. It's a gradual process. We may find that we invest in something and something gets damaged, and it's almost apocalyptic over here if something bad happens, or maybe someone gets injured or the equipment gets damaged. There's always a chance that will happen, but I think it takes time for culture to change. And I think that we've come from a background on the Isle of Man where children were outside and they were playing all the time, and we reap the benefits of generations of that over here. And now we're labelling children as being up to no good and we can't provide nice things because nice things get destroyed. There may be a minority of people that do that, but I think we've got to keep providing opportunities consistently so that actually we can break that trend and have children actually access these spaces and enjoy them, because they're the places where they should be enjoyed.
Chris Gregory from Isle of Play there. Now, FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones didn't hide his disappointment after seeing his side suffer a resounding 4-0 loss at Earlham in the NWCFL Premier Division last night. He spoke with the club's media at full time following a result that puts his side bottom of the table after the first four games.
I thought we started the game okay, and then the penalty decision kind of stopped all momentum that we had, and we just kind of like ran around chasing shadows for the rest of the half, and then we were out of the game and we didn't really look in the game at all. We only started to control the game and play how we wanted to when we were 4-0 down, but that isn't good enough. Really not happy. You know, there's a very good group of players in there once they start playing together and as a team, and there has been a lot of kind of changes and a forced change in terms of squad selections and stuff, but we need to do more as a group to kind of come together and stay a little bit closer on the pitch. You know, I'll always look at myself first in terms of how I set the team up, but you know, that was largely just down to, you know, 11 players kind of just looking after themselves and not really worrying about each other. So yeah, not, as you can tell, not particularly happy. I don't like making excuses for crap performances, and I'm very aware of how our results have gone this calendar year, but there is a point that, you know, we got mainly a group of 21 to 24 year olds who, although some have played quite a lot of football at this level, are still very young, and it's about getting the best out of them whilst also they're continuing to learn and develop. So there is a period of change, and it is uncomfortable, and it isn't great, and it is messy, but we can, and the group needs to go through this in order to get to where they're capable of being. And it's not nice to go through, it certainly isn't, but this isn't a group of players that have played lots and lots of minutes at high levels. We have to be patient to a point. We have to demand from them, as we are doing, and they have to know that we care about them and that we're trying our best for them and that everybody's behind them. And if and when the time is decided that I'm not the person that can help them, then that's just how it is. But I think there's a lot more to come.
Unfortunate result there for FC Isle of Man, but hopefully they'll pick themselves back up and carry on. Now, six local riders will be among the newcomers heading onto the Snaefell Mountain course from later this week at the Manx Grand Prix. Two of those are Sam Norton and Grant Thompson, who say they're looking forward to their first experience of heading down Bray Hill.
I'm really looking forward to it, yeah. I'm nervous, but excited at the same time, yeah, can't wait. It's obviously going to be very different to short circuits or even down the southern, so I'm just going to go out there and treat it like a Sunday ride, really, just see how we get on.
It's a big financial cost just to make it to racing on the mountain course. How have you found managing that and getting everything in place financially?
Very difficult, to be honest. I've managed to get good sponsors on board this year, which has been great, and then obviously my own money going into it as well, so it's been very tough getting all the funding in place, and, you know, I'm still struggling now. You know, even a few days away from it, and there's still things that aren't paid for yet, which need to be sorted out. I'm just going to go out there and, like I said earlier, just treat it like a quick Sunday ride. I'm not setting myself any lap time goals, stuff like that. Results, I'm just going out there to learn the place.
Grant, how much are you looking forward to making your MGP debut?
Oh, very excited to get the opportunity, you know, to go and ride the mountain courses. It's something you always dream of as a kid. So, you know, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Compared to some of the other riders, you've been quite late into the sport as well. It seems to have been like a really steady upward curve. What's been the secret to the progress, I guess?
Yeah, to be fair, a bit late into it, you know, starting in 23. So it was smash everything out in the first year, all your licenses, and then going to the road circuits for the Southern and everything to build up. But I think bike time's really helped, you know, going across the UK and racing over here locally and obviously doing the 700 and everything like that, you know, it's all been massive stepping stones.
Do you have any objectives in mind, or are you just taking it as it comes?
I'm taking it as it comes. All depends on laps. You know, you don't know how many laps you're going to get. I've got a few little goals in my head. Hopefully I'll do it. If I don't do it, then, you know, it's not the end of the world, because at the end of the day, I'm still a newcomer. We all want to be stood on the top of that top step, and I think it would be nice if we could repeat what Joe Yearsley and Marcus Simpson done, but I've got no pressure on myself and no pressure from any of the team or anything, so let's just have fun.
And Norton and Thompson are two of the six ARA graduates at MGP, along with Wayne Avis, Luke Blevins, Dale Brew and Blake Kelly. Right, let's turn our attention to Rob Pritchard. Fast to my
Christian. Well, first off, going to stay with motorsport, because Davey Todd has been confirmed as a late entry into the Formula One race at this year's Classic TT. The three-time TT winner will line up on the Prosperity Racing Ducati 916. He's expected to drop into the number 8 starting position inside the top 20 seeded riders for the race, having initially not featured in the top 20 announcement. Well, last year, the Ducati 916 finished in top spot for the first time around the Snaefell Mountain course, with Mike Brown taking victory in the 2025 Classic Superbike MGP race. Todd will be among three riders on Ducati 916 power in the top 20 for the Formula One race, along with Brown and also Rob Hodgson. Elsewhere in this year's Classic TT, Todd is also due to contest the historic Junior Classic and historic Senior Classic races. In darts, Manx player Darren Kenish has reclaimed top spot in the World Paradarts rankings. Following the final rounds of this season in Belgium and New Zealand, Kenish has moved up to number one in the World Paradarts wheelchair standings on 1,390 points. That moves him ahead of Belgian competitor Vincent de Hont, who drops to second in the world on 1,260 points. Furthermore, the Ireland competitor's latest campaign means he's qualified once again for the World Paradarts, World Masters and World Championships, this time as the number one seed. That event will take place in Hungary on the 29th and 30th of October. Separately, another Isle of Man player, Callum Brew, he remains inside the global top 20 for the World Paradarts standing classifications in 17th. And in badminton, Ireland player Abigail Mellor has scooped a medal whilst representing England at this year's Victor Graded International in Ireland. Representing the England T2 squad, she and her teammates claimed the silver medal in the T2 competition.
Gurmai, thank you very much for that, Rob. Well, that is it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Lewis Foster. On the way, stick around. Up next is Spotlight with Howard Kane. He's followed by Chris Kinley on Greatest Hits. After that, Ernie Thorne is on the hot seat from 9 o'clock. And then, of course, as per usual, Dave Moore is taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.